Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Barrett, how you been?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I kind of these days, if I'm being honest with you, I have a love-hate relationship with you. I love you for your college football takes, but as a Met fan, I have not muted you, but I really want to mute you for your Mets takes.
Well, maybe they shouldn't collapse. That's not a me problem. That's a Mets problem. You know, I'm just saying, like, it's very easy not to lose a 10.5 game lead in the division. But, you know, apparently the Mets find that more challenging than other teams.
And let me just ask you this. If it was, and I'm going to make an excuse, is my team, they had no pulse, no heart, no fight up against your team in Atlanta, and you guys deserve to win the division. But you're telling me if this game that you were complaining about tonight, which really means nothing, was in Atlanta, and it was 50 degrees, and it was raining, and it was cold, that Barrett Salih would be there?
I have season tickets, so yes, I would love to see my team clinch. Look, the Braves have sold out more than half their games this year, whether it be summer, winter, spring, whatever. People show up. We all show up. So absolutely, if there was a chance for the Braves to clinch today, it would be sold out.
Yeah, but there's no chance for the Mets to clinch.
They got to win out.
Say that again?
They have to win out. The fans should be there to support their team. Look, I'm just saying, maybe we're a better sports town than y'all. Just saying.
Oh, come on, Atlanta! You don't even believe that. You just probably had to mute your phone. You don't actually believe that. You're laughing in the background. I know that.
Second best attendance in the National League last year, despite the fact they weren't above 500 until August. We actually show up when games matter. I mean, I don't know.
What about when the games don't matter? Do the Braves fans show up?
Oh, absolutely, because there's a lot of good things to do at the Battery and around the stadium. I show up when there's no game sometimes.
Barrett Salih here with us. We will still talk to him because we like his college football takes, even though I've been very, 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 very salty and annoyed with him on social media. And you just have the perfect time tweets, too. It's almost as if, you know, the moment I'm on Twitter, you're like, okay, that's when I got to send the Mets tweet out because Zach's on Twitter following me.
What if I do know?
Well, then I'll be a little bit concerned, honestly. I'm filing a restraining order against you, maybe. All right, so when a coach gets fired, they name an interim coach. A lot of people go, hey, it's his job to lose. But for Jim Leonard, who's had opportunities before, and he knows the school better than anyone, is this actually his job to lose at Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's why they made the move. I don't think there's any secret that maybe Paul Chryst and the new administration at Wisconsin, you know, were kind of at odds. But I think when it became apparent that things were not going to be reconciled, and maybe, I wouldn't even say that this season was lost, just the fact that it had not started out the way it had gone, they felt like it was probably going to be inevitability anyway that Paul Chryst left, so might as well let Jim Leonard audition. Because I tell you, Jim Leonard's going to get offers. I mean, there is no doubt. If he coached out that season as a coordinator at Wisconsin, he would still get Power 5 offers, multiple Power 5 offers. So why not let him see what he could do at his home at Wisconsin? Since he's been there, he knows the players, all that other stuff. So if there's 100% this is an audition, I think that it's going to be really hard for them not to keep him, because I do think they're a pretty good team. And I think that knowing his relationships that he has there in a variety of different ways, unless he completely tanks over the course of the next month and a half, then I would be shocked if he's he doesn't get that job full time.
Is there a name or two that you would say, okay, maybe they would go elsewhere instead of Jim Leonard, even though we're in the infant stages of this?
I would say that one to keep an eye on is Dave Aranda at Baylor. And I say this because, A, he has been there before as a coordinator, and B, financially, the Big 12 in the future is not going to be anywhere close to what the Big, it's not close to the Big 10 now, but if you're Wisconsin knowing how much money you're going to get during the new TV contract, you know you can potentially overpay by today's market value because you're going to be able to afford it in a couple of years. So I think that's the one to keep an eye out. You know, and that's true really of all the Big 12 coaches. You know, Matt Campbell might be another name they look at for that exact reason. Lance Leipold, obviously, you know, same sort of thing. I think if you're Wisconsin, if it's not Jay Leonard, I would look at all of the good to decent Big 12 coaches right now, because that's the conference that has good staffs, but also is at the worst spot financially compared to the Big 12, or Big 10, I should say.
Barrett Salee here with us. Do you have a name or two that you're intrigued by for potentially Nebraska?
Oh, man. I think for Nebraska, I don't know if they're willing to go Troy Calhoun. They should be willing to go Troy Calhoun because he runs the new age version of what Nebraska was successful with back in the day. You know, the Air Force is not a triple option team. It is a spread you out, you know, multiple speed option team, which is essentially the new age triple option, right? So if you can incorporate that into what Nebraska already has, the tradition it has, the ability to go get those offensive linemen that are willing to play in those kind of systems, I think it can be successful. But Nebraska is not going to be – kids don't care about Nebraska. You know, like, we're old guys, right? We remember Nebraska. These kids playing now, these high schoolers, they don't even remember Nebraska as a Big 12 team, much less the Power, right? So you have to be different. You're not going to win these recruiting battles. You're not going to go, you know, be a superpower. You have to be unique. And that's why I think a guy like Troy Calhoun would be a good spot for them.
Barrett Salee here with us. I don't know if this is a curveball because he said that last year was the last time he was going to flirt with the NFL, but I really don't believe him. Could we see Michigan open this offseason?
I think that was it. I think last year was it, right? I think that was Jim Harbaugh trying to strike while the iron's hot, right? They just went to the playoffs. He's obviously, you know, got a little bit of a name brand recognition at the NFL level. I think it was a test to see, okay, how desired am I really at this level? And I think he found out that he was not that desired. I mean, certainly, you know, could have had discussions, whatever, but I think that was it. I think that was sort of the pivot point. Do you go back to the NFL or do you stick around Michigan? And I don't think he liked what he heard from the NFL, so he just sent Michigan to the playoffs. You know what? That gives him some credibility there, some equity there, so why not stick around? So, no, I don't think – I used to be all aboard Michigan or Harbaugh leaving Michigan for the NFL. But after all that went down last year, I think that was sort of the it trying to – that was it trying to figure out exactly which way he was going to go with his future. And I think he actually made a wise decision because – obviously, Michigan's playing pretty good football right now.
What is it going to take for Jimbo Fisher to be out after this year at A&M? Because I feel like it's inevitable he'll be back next year. The seat will just be, like, on fire.
Five more years until the buyout drops and they can afford to pay him? He can't be fired. They expected more. If I was not on board with the Jimbo hire to begin with, I was sort of the belief that he was a pretty good coach who had a great roster. Granted, he recruited that roster at Florida State and had a generational quarterback. He's too stubborn. His offense is too complicated. His players can't run it, and he's not willing to change it. So I'm with you. I think that next year is going to be interesting, but that would be what, year five, so he would be owed what? I don't know, $32 million. I'm not good at math. I went to Auburn, but that's still a huge chunk of change. So I think it would be multiple years of what you're seeing now before they get rid of him. And I mean, it's going to happen. I think this is exactly what Texas A&M is. They're an 8-4, 9-3 type team at best every year. But it's going to take a couple more years of it to get rid of him.
Barrett Salee from CBS Sports, wrapping up with him on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Two-part question here. One, will Urban Meyer be back at a sideline next year? And two, will Deion Sanders be at a Power 5 job next season?
With Urban, I think it comes down to this. Are you willing to sell your soul for wins? in championships. Because he can do that. Like, he'll get you some wins. He'll get you championships. But he's going to leave your program in a smoldering ash pile when he leaves, right? So is Auburn willing to do that? Maybe. maybe they are. But I think it would take that kind of leap for Urban. As for Deion, yeah, I think he will. I know that he set out on a mission at Jackson State to, you know, revitalize HBCUs and all that stuff, and that's awesome. But I also think that he wants to be a head coach at a major level. He wanted Arkansas bad. He wanted Florida State bad. I think he was probably waiting for Florida State to tank this year. It's not happened, obviously. But, yes, I think you see him at a Power 5 job. And, look, I'm in Atlanta. If he goes to Georgia Tech, it would be incredible for all parties. The ties to Atlanta, being in the college football capital of the world, having access to all these players. I mean, yeah, it would be the NIL opportunities, the transfer portal opportunities. It would be awesome. And I think ultimately Georgia Tech will ask him. I think it's two things with him. One, do you want to take that challenge? And two, do you want to coach against your rival? Or I'm sorry, your alma mater. I don't know if he's wanting to do either one of those things.
Wrap it up with Barrett Salee. Just a few quick hitters before we let you run. What do you think the chances are that Bryce Young plays this weekend? Has there been any intel there, or has it just been, hey, Saban's not telling anyone until kickoff?
Saban's not telling anyone. I would say he probably isn't for two reasons. One, it's not something you want to mess around with, and two, I don't think Nick feels threatened by A&M at all. So if I had to guess, it would be Jalen Milroe.
How much of a believer are you in potentially Oklahoma State making the college football playoff this year?
Ooh. Now that they beat Baylor, pretty, pretty high on them. The problem is the Big 12, man, it's just there are nine teams that can win that conference. You know, it's like you got to avoid those landmines. Spencer Sanders has been awesome. And Mike Gundy was right. He does not get enough credit. Spencer Sanders does not get enough credit. So, you know, they were literally an inch away from it last year. I could see it happening this year. We would have to swing in their favor. The landscape would have to swing in their favor, but it could happen.
And then finally, in the Pac-12, which has now been a really good conference this year, do you take USC or the field to win the Pac-12 this year?
Oh, USC, 100%. You know, their defense is horrific, but they force turnovers, right? You're going to give up 500 yards, but you're going to get four turnovers, and you're going to be fine. So winning the Pac-12, the way that team has come together, the way that offense clicks, I would say, yeah, USC over the field, although I'm interested to see what happens with UCLA and Utah this week, because that might change my decision depending on which way that one goes.
He's Barrett Salee. Barrett, I would say good luck to your baseball team, but I wouldn't mean it. So just keep on putting out good content on the college football side, and I'll keep on following you. Thank you.
I'm appreciated. I don't think we need luck. We just need skill.
Oh, I would love to see you guys get sweeped in the NLDS. That would be great. There's Barrett Salee joining us on the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.